Seattle Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. For the new year, come new laws. And to give us a little heads up on what's about to be imposed on us here, let's go to former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. One of the new laws is an increase in the minimum wage. Where is it going to? This is statewide. Where is it going to?
Well, as of January 1st, the minimum wage for our state will increase to $13.50 an hour. This is a result of a voter-approved initiative called 1433 back in 2016 that set increases in the state's minimum wage every year from 2017 to 2020. For example, in 2019, it went up to $12 from $11.50 an hour. By 2020, it'll go to $13.50.
The other one that takes effect, I don't think that's too controversial anymore. I mean, Seattle's $15 minimum wage seems to have caught on around the country, so 13 sounds reasonable. There is another wage issue, though, which is a little more complicated. This has to do with overtime pay. So explain how this works.
Well, this is a big one because this is the first time since the 1970s that Washington State has overhauled its overtime rules for workers. Our State Department of Labor and Industries announced the rule changes earlier this month, which are going to go into effect July 1st of 2020. And they'll make about 259,000 additional Washington State workers, people who work in our state, eligible for overtime pay by the time the rules are fully implemented in 2028. So it doesn't all kick in immediately. But starting on July 1st, the minimum salary threshold needed for a company to not pay a worker overtime increases from $250 a week to $675 a week.
Wow.
Which means that if you make $83,356 a year or less beginning in 2028, they'll have to pay you overtime for working more than a standard work week.
So does this affect all employers regardless of size?
As far as I can tell, it'll affect all businesses because the rules are tied to how much workers make. And the minimum salary threshold appears to apply regardless of the company size.
And the idea is not to exploit people at a very low salary by saying, okay, since you've got a steady salary, we're not going to pay you overtime. The employer should have to pay a higher salary for that privilege. Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, that's it. So, you know, workers will benefit in two ways. One is that they'll probably be asked to work less overtime. So mm-hmm. That's a benefit in terms of freeing up their time, especially if they've been working overtime without being compensated, right? Which happens to, you know, a lot of folks right now who make pretty good livings, not just making minimum wage. And then the other benefit will be that to the extent those workers do put in extra hours, they'll get paid for them.
The other law that's taking effect has to do with car seats. And I saw in one of the articles that there may be a requirement that even middle schoolers have to sit in car seats.
Yeah, that's because the new rules are tied to the size of the child, not just to the child's age. Any child under 4'9" tall will be required to be in a booster seat with a seatbelt or in a harness seat, which makes me think these kids are likelier to die of embarrassment than from injury in a car accident. They are in middle school, after all.
Yeah, that's the tension I see. Little Johnny still has to go in his car seat. This was based on data, though, right?
Yeah, it's based on evidence. I mean, the fact is that seatbelts are designed for human beings of a certain size, certain height, and they just don't work as well when you're tiny. By the way, the new rules also require, although this is a little bit flaky, it says children up to 13 years old must ride in the back seat when possible. So I guess that means if you don't have a back seat, they don't have to ride in it. But I thought that was interesting as well, because that's not tied to size. That's tied to age.
How do you enforce that?
Well, you know, the penalty for breaking these new rules is a traffic ticket. So you enforce it the same way other rules like, you know, driving and texting are enforced. If an officer observes you, most likely it'll be a kind of secondary offense where if you're pulled over for speeding, you know, and then the officer notices. Yeah. But I'm guessing in these cases, if the 4'7" tall sixth grader is not in a booster seat, the officer is not going to pull you over for that. They're going to observe it when they've pulled you over for, you know, speeding or something.
Yeah. And also taking effect is a new rule on smoking and vaping, raising the age of purchase to 21 from 18.
Right. It's not a prohibition on using them. It's an attempt to limit access by younger people by limiting sales. I think that the interesting development here is really around flavored vaping products, because the ban on flavored vaping products that the Department of Health in our states enacted is going to expire February 7th of next year. And that vaping ban on flavored products apparently has had a real impact on vaping sales, because that's a big part of the market. And of course, the fastest growing segment of vapers is young people. So regulators are trying to slow down the growth of vaping by trying to limit or eliminate flavored products. But if this temporary ban goes away, it'll be up to the legislature or maybe the governor to try to put it back in place if they want to.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Rob, thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.